So what we're doing on Sunday nights, for at least for the first few minutes, is doing a Bible class that we call Soldiers of Christ. And the idea behind Soldiers of Christ was just to help us to get into the Bible, learn some key things, key facts, key information from the Old Testament and the New Testament, so that we can build our faith, so we can be better equipped as teachers and as soldiers in engaging in our service to the Lord. And so we have these cards that we put together. These are the ones on the New Testament, at least the ones on the life of Christ up until his last week. And so if you don't have a copy of these, we have some of these up here. You're welcome to get a copy, and they're divided up into key facts, key locations, key chapters and memory verses. And so just a way for us to try to learn some Bible information. Buzz and Bob, I don't know if we can get the back monitors on or not. If not, I can just keep turning around, no problem. What we're doing is we took a break for the end of the year, for Christmas and New Year's, and trying to get back into this study of the life of Christ. And so last week what we did is, instead of jumping into new material, what I wanted to do is kind of to back up and to see what have we learned about Jesus just in the early chapters, of the New Testament. What have we learned about Jesus? We've only looked at really Matthew chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. We've looked at Matthew chapter 1, or Mark chapter 1. We've looked at about the first four chapters of Luke, and we've looked at first four chapters of John. So it's just the early chapters of these books. But I want to see, what have we learned about Jesus? And we started with the list last week of 18 things about Jesus that we've learned, and we only got through half of it. So we're going to try tonight to see if we can get through the other half, the last of it, but don't hold me to that. Probably a decent chance we won't get through all 18, because I want us to start, because some of you were not here last week, I want us to start by just seeing, what do we know about Jesus from these early chapters? Who is Jesus? First thing we saw last week is that Jesus is who, Jimmy? Jesus is God. Now, that throws some people for kind of a loop. What do you mean Jesus is God? I thought God was God. How can Jesus be God? Well, because the Bible says that He is. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Lucas knows that. So Jesus is God. Now, I've had a couple questions on that since we talked about that last week, so we may hang on to that and do just a special study of that sometime soon, just saying, all right, what do we know about that? How can that be? What does that mean? Here's the thing we take away from this. The Bible says that He is. Even if I don't fully understand it, if you fully understand the Godhead, if you fully understand that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are all God, they're all three God, they are all one, but they're three independent entities. If you fully understand that, you're like the only person on earth. So hang on to it while you got it, because you're like the only person on earth who can fully understand the Godhead. It is something we can talk about, we can explain, and then after we're done, we're like, yep, that's bigger than my brain can hold. Shouldn't that be the case? I mean, do you think our little brain should be able to understand the fullness of God? Hate to break it to you, you're not God. I know. You've that kind of rocks your world, but you're not God. And so it's going to kind of, our little brains grab what they can, and they say, okay, that's what I got. So number one, Jesus is God. Next thing we saw last week is that Jesus is, Mike Archer, Jesus is what? What's the screen? Number two, He's eternal. What does that mean? What does it mean that He's eternal? He always has been. He always will be. Wait a minute. I thought when we get to Matthew chapter 1 that Jesus is born. What does it mean that Jesus is eternal? He was born as a baby. Where was He before He was a baby? All right, I know what you're going to say. In Mary's womb. Good. All right. Now, how long was He in Mary's womb? Approximately. 9 months. Good. All right. You're with me on this. Where was He before that? He was in heaven. Jesus always has been. He is eternal. We see that in John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word, what, Lucas? Was God. When was Jesus God? Before He ever came to this earth. That means He was in existence before He ever came to this earth. And I know that's something that we try to grasp, and some of your religious friends don't believe that. Jesus is God, and I won't rehash everything because we talked a lot about this last week. Jesus is God. Jesus is eternal. Jesus is Jehovah. A lot of your religious friends don't believe that, but He is. John came to prepare the way for the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Jesus is Lord. He is Jehovah. Number four, Jesus is Creator. How many things did Jesus create? Everything. There's nothing in existence that Jesus did not create. He's God. He's eternal. He is Jehovah. He is Creator. Number five, He is Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us. So God came down and lived on this earth, and one of the names that He had was Emmanuel, because God wanted us to remember Emmanuel means He's God and He is with us. Number six, He is the promised Messiah. That Messiah, how many prophecies were made about the coming Messiah in the Old Testament? 332. How many of them did Jesus of Nazareth fulfill? 332. What does that make Him? It makes Him the Messiah, Old Testament word. Makes Him the Christ, New Testament word. What does that word mean? What does Christ mean? What does that word mean? The Anointed One. Who was anointed in the Old Testament? Prophets, priests, and kings were all anointed in the Old Testament. Jesus is the Anointed One. Is He a prophet? He's the prophet. Is He a priest? He's the great high priest. Is He a king? King of kings. He's all of those things to the infinite highest degree. Jesus fulfilled all 332 prophecies in the Old Testament. So that's as far as we got last week. All right, quick. I don't know if that was quick, but a quick review to get us to number 10. What else do we see about Jesus in these early chapters? He's the Lamb of God. When John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, John chapter 1, verse 29, and this is one of the questions that is on your card. John's description of Jesus to his disciples. How did he describe Jesus? Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. Does that, when you call somebody a lamb, Jimmy, I've been on the basketball court, you've been on the basketball, you don't usually call somebody a lamb, I mean, you wouldn't call anybody anything. I mean, let's be real, right? You don't smack talk. I mean, you're just as polite and kind as can be on the court, I know. But, you know, it's the other guys. Leonard, don't say anything about what I'm... just zip it. I'm trying to be nice over here with Jimmy, okay? So, but it's the other guys on the court. Do they call each other a lamb? I mean, that's just not... When you think about somebody being a lamb, what does that mean? Did somebody say weak? Meek. I heard something. Eek. WM both. Waste management. Weak and meek. That's what you think about when you think of a lamb. Why did they call Jesus a lamb? Oh. In the Old Testament, they would take that lamb and they would offer that lamb as... Why would they offer a lamb as a sacrifice? What was the purpose of offering a lamb as a sacrifice? What did the people have that were separating them from God? Sins. God's plan in the Old Testament was to offer these lambs as sacrifice so that the blood of the lamb could cover over, atone for their sins. But when the blood covered over and atoned for their sins... Were their sins gone? Were their sins remembered no more? No, they were still there. How often were their sins remembered? Once a year. How would you like your sins remembered once a year? How would you like it when your birthday came around and say, hey, happy birthday. Remember your sins? Yeah, all the sins you did the last year. I mean, that'd be lame, wouldn't it? Remember your sins every year? You get to the New Testament. Behold the Lamb of God who covers over your sins, but they're still there. Is that what it says? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin. When Jesus forgives you of your sin, is it still there? It's gone. It's taken out of the way, and it's remembered no more. It can't get any better than that. And we learned that right at the beginning of the life of Jesus. John sees him coming. And he's not saying, behold the Lamb of God, as some kind of an insult. He's using that phrase to raise Jesus up. Why? Because what were the Jews expecting? The Jews were expecting Isaiah 53. Although they didn't fully understand it, they were expecting Isaiah 53. As a lamb that is led to the slaughter. That's who Jesus was going to be. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Number 11, Jesus is the Savior. When Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, what did he think? Good news or bad news? When he first learned the news, did he think it was good news or bad news? Wait a minute, I thought Jesus coming to the world was good news. Isn't it? Isn't Jesus coming to the world good news? He didn't know that. All he knew is that the woman to whom he was betrothed was pregnant, and he knew it wasn't his, and that's bad news. When the angel came and talked to Joseph to tell him what was going on, there was a promise made to him in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. She shall have a son, and you shall call his name, not Emmanuel, that's in verse 23. You shall call his name, starts with a J, Jesus. Why are they going to call his name Jesus? What's he going to do? Save the people from their sins. That's what the name Jesus means. And so Jesus, when he comes along and he talks to Nicodemus, he reminded Nicodemus that Moses picked up a brazen serpent and he put it on a pole so that those Jews in the Old Testament, when they looked at that brazen serpent on a pole, when they were bit by a snake, what would happen to them when they looked at that brazen serpent? They'd be healed. They'd live. And Jesus says, just like Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, what's going to happen to Jesus? He's going to be lifted up. He's going to be lifted up on a cross. He's our Savior. When you think about all of these things, can your mind wrap itself around all of these things? Yes, He's eternal. Yes, He is God. Yes, He is Jehovah. But He's also my Savior. The question that we've got to ask ourselves is He my Savior? He is the Savior of the world. Is He my Savior? Have I done what the Scriptures tell me to do in order for Jesus to be my Savior? The very first verse of the New Testament, what else does it tell us about Jesus? He's the Son of David. He's the Son of Abraham. What does that matter? What does it matter that He's the Son of David and the Son of Abraham? Say it again. It's the promise. When three promises are made to Abraham, we talked about this in his kids today. When three promises are made to Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation, put you in a great land, and I'm going to send through you a great seed. Who's that great seed? Jesus. What if Jesus comes along, but He's not a descendant of Abraham? Guess what? He can't be your Savior. He didn't fulfill prophecy. What if He's not the descendant of David? He can't be your Savior. He didn't fulfill prophecy. The very first verse of your New Testament tells you He's the Son of David. He's the Son of Abraham. Now, here's where your brain is not going to be able to grasp everything we're talking, because the first thing we said is that Jesus is God. But what else do we learn about Jesus? He's the Son of God. Wait a minute. How can He be God and the Son of God at the same time? My name is David Sproul, in case you didn't know. My father's name is David Sproul. So I am not the real David Sproul. I'm just a copy. I'm just, you know, the fake one. But the real David Sproul is living in Anderson, South Carolina. So who am I? Oh, I'm the son. I'm the son of David Sproul. I'm not the real one. He's up there. How can Jesus be God and the Son of God at the same time? We think son of, and what do we think? Offspring. We think a descendant of. That is not the way it's being used in the Bible. Can we get that? Is Jesus a descendant of God? He is God. So how can he be God and the Son of God at the same time? In the New Testament, that expression, son of, is used often to describe something of an individual that they have certain characteristics of, that they bear certain qualities of whoever it is after this. You remember James and John, the two apostles? They were called, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were called the sons of thunder. Sons of thunder. Does that mean they were descendants of thunder? That doesn't make sense, does it? Were James and John descendants of thunder? No. Then why do you call them sons of thunder? Because they bore the characteristics, the qualities of maybe their mom called them sons of thunder. If you had, some of you have had two boys, I mean, sons of thunder would actually be a nice name for you to call some of your boys, right? So what sons, what does that indicate? Their character was like that of thunder. Turn your Bible to the book of John, real quick. Turn your Bible to the book of John, and I want you to see a couple verses about Jesus. Go to John chapter 10. Look in John chapter 10. Look at verse 31. John 10, verse 31. The Jews took up stones again to stone Jesus, and Jesus answered them in verse 32. Many good works I have shown you from who? See, we read that and we think, my father. I'm a descendant, I'm the son of, and he's my father. He's the one that I've come from. Many good works I have shown you from my father. For which of these do you now stone me? Verse 33. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you. But why? For blasphemy. What? Blasphemy? What did Jesus say? Because you, being a man, make yourself God. Wait a minute. How did Jesus make himself God? By saying that God was his father. Get this descendant, this father, son, our mindset out of your brain, because that's not the way it's being used. Go back to verse 30, the verse right before where we started reading here. What does Jesus say in verse 30? I and my father are one. What are the Jews, when they hear this, what do they recognize? They're not recognizing a father-son, a descendant relationship. They are seeing one who is making himself equal with God. Go back to chapter 5. Look back in John chapter 5. Let's start in verse 16. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my who? Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, okay, that's a big deal, but that's not why we want to kill him, but also because he said God was his Father, and by saying that, what was he doing? Making himself equal with God. When Jesus is called the Son of God, is he inferior to God? No. Is he inferior to the Father? No. They are one. Again, Some of you have come in since we began tonight. If you can fully grasp the fact that God the Father and God the Son are two entities of God, but they are one God, we can say those words. We can understand it to a certain degree, but we're not God. Jesus is not some inferior God. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6 says that when Jesus comes to this earth, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, something to be held onto. What does that indicate about Jesus' eternality? He's always been. And when Jesus was always here, was always in existence before the world began, he was equal with God. Is he the Son of God? Why is he described as the Son of God? Why is that terminology used? One, to show that he is God. Don't think about it as an inferior. Two, Mary has a son named Jesus. How did Mary become pregnant? Through God. God comes upon Mary. Mary has a human child. I used to think as a kid Jesus was 50% human and 50% God. My math was bad. You can't be, he was not 50% human. If he was 50% human, what does he look like? What does a 50% human person look like? I mean, did he only have one eye, one ear, one leg, one arm? I mean, 50%? I mean, one lung, one kidney? I mean, sorry, you're only 50% human. That's bad math. He was 100% human. He became flesh and dwelt among us. Did he look like every other human? Why did Judas have to kiss him when they went to the garden? Oh, he looked like everybody else. He didn't have that halo. I mean, couldn't Judas have just said, hey, go look for the guy with the halo? Duh, that's Jesus. He looked like everybody else. He's human, 100% human. Is he God? 100%. And he comes to this earth, he dwells among us, and he dies for us so that he can be our Savior. What did we get through? 13 out of 18? Wow. We didn't get there tonight, did we? I told you, don't get your hopes up. We might finish 18 next week. We'll have to see. And this is just what we're seeing about Jesus in the early chapters of what we read about in the New Testament. If you're one of the men who's leading us in our worship tonight, if you can go ahead and come up. I know there's several of you leading us in singing and prayer, presiding at the Lord's table. If you'll go ahead and come up, we're going to go right into our worship service tonight. We're not going to take any kind of a break in regard to this. But I want us to think about, going from this class setting, I want us to think about why we're here tonight. We're here tonight to worship God. We're here tonight to bring honor and glory to Him. Let's bow and pray and get our hearts ready to worship Him. Let's pray.